As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
All right, Devin, what do you got for us today for a quote?
Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has plenty, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. That's a good, happy Thanksgiving quote.
Yes, it is. I like that it emphasizes the fact that all men have many current blessings, and they also have some past misfortunes.
Right.
It's like it just emphasizes the fact that we should all have more current blessings than we have past misfortunes.
Right. I mean, anyone still right alive and kicking.
Yep.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess this is coming out the day after, so happy Black Friday, too.
Yeah.
Hope you're getting some deals.
Yeah, it should be exciting. I have a couple things that are on my list this year that that usually in the past I don't ever really think about it or worry about it, but this year, I've been saving and waiting for a couple things.
Yeah. Along with that quote, there was a lot of quotes I was looking up, giving thanks and this type of be thankful for what you have, not for what you don't have, that type of thing. And another one I like from Willie Nelson is, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around.
Huh.
Right. That's again, nice. That's just be thankful, be positive.
Yeah. Right.
I like that.
It's easy to focus on the negative things, right? Because those are the things that hurt. That stick with you. It's like those are the things you stress about, and you can't sleep because you're stressed, and that's the stuff that really sticks with you. But then when you do think about you, like you said, you start counting your blessings. The things that you take for granted are the things that we should count. Those things, and it's like all those little things that make our life livable and happy and manageable, and people and things and items and all those things. They definitely outweigh the negatives in numbers. Sometimes it doesn't feel that like they outweigh the negatives in how it's affecting your life, but we're alive, so
yeah, right. I got a couple more just quotes off my head. There's one, Bill Burr is everyone's eating a shit sandwich, which is kind of funny. We all have our shit sandwich day, but whether yours is a little bit shitty or not, and then. The other one is, a healthy man wants all things. A man who's not healthy only wants one thing, and that's to get healthy, right?
Yeah.
So I like that one, too. A healthy person worries about everything, but the second you're not healthy or you're feeling poor or ill or something's happened, then you realize automatically what's most important.
Right. Yeah.
Your health is still kicking.
Yeah, and I think that also reiterates the fact that, you know, when there are things that are feeling rough about your life, that's the things that just are in your mind. You know, mm. you can't think about anything else, but there are all sorts of other things to worry about, or on the other side of it, other things to enjoy. Mm. I'm also reminded of a more of a sentiment, and I think this is something that goes across many of the Native American tribes across our country, that they, one of the things that I've read about, that there would be different prayers that people would say in the morning, especially you'd wake up in the morning, and then a common prayer in whichever language and whichever version of it across the country and different Native American tribes would be saying, mm. it's a good day to die. You're basically saying that, you know, I've lived my life. I've done everything I can do to this point. And if I were to die now, I would die proud, right? I'm proud of who I am, of what I have, of the people mm. around me. You know, so you're living each life. You're not trying to do something that you haven't accomplished yet, and you're not ready to die. You know, it's like, today's right. a good day to die. It's a very, like, it's a little downturning, but it does reiterate the fact that, like, you've done what you're proud of who you are. And if you were to die then, you could look back and be proud of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that you were talking about the how the small things, right, we got to be thankful for. Yeah. And the funny thing is, the more abundance we have and the more things we have to be thankful for, we do less of it. Because right. we're not thinking about the basics. Like, our baseline of what to be thankful for keeps rising.
Right.
as the years go on. Right. Yeah. Like, you know, it's always, if you have this and then you got the next thing, then you want the thing after.
Right.
Like, my wife and I, we're in an apartment now, and all we can think about is trying to get a house. But then we talk about how excited we were to get out and move in together into this apartment.
Yep.
Like, those first few months were fantastic, and we're so happy to be out here, even just in the country.
Right.
But now we, like, down talk it, like, we're in this stupid apartment. We got to get out of here. We got to get a house, you know? Yeah. So that line keeps rising. Or, you know, you have a crappy truck or vehicle, then you get something a little right. better.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my wife gets the hybrid, and then all of a sudden everything else seems crappy.
Yeah, like, right.
It's not a hybrid though. Like, I don't want this crappy Jeep. Like,
yeah, we we have a Nissan Rogue, a 2016 Nissan Rogue, which my wife drives. And if you guys listen to the podcast, you know that I have a 1989 Ford F-150, which is an awesome truck, and I love it. But it's definitely old, and it has its quirks. But we recently had to get our transition replaced on the Nissan Rogue. Yeah, the transmission. So we, you know, we took it into the dealership because it's still under warranty, so they're going to take care of it all. And they gave us a loaner 2020 Nissan Rogue. And so it's funny, my wife is like, yeah, our old, you know, dirty Nissan Rogue. I'm like, it's a 2016. It's only 4 years old.
Right.
that's a brand new car in our right. lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whoa, take it easy. I love our car. This 2020 Rogue is cool, but, you know, it's don't you know, we're going to have to get our old 2016 yeah. Rogue back. They're giving it back to back. Us. Yeah. Right. She's like, oh, the old car. It's not old. yeah, exactly. Anytime. Same thing with having a shop. It's like when we were living together early on, you know, right after my daughter was born, we moved back to Baltimore, and I had, you know, a 2x4 tabletop, which was on sawhorses, and I would clamp a vise to it, and that was my shop. You know, right. I had some tools in, like, milk carts, other than that, you know, milk crates and stuff.
Right, right. And the shop was just outside.
Yeah.
There was no indoor thing.
Yeah, right.
It
exactly.
was, hey, let's set it up every time we want to do something out in the backyard.
I just want a shop inside, right, that I don't have to, yeah, exactly. I don't have to move my tools around. And then the shop's there, like, all right, now I need another table because I only have one table. You know, like, all right, now I need more tools. I need a bigger this. And there's always something. But
right.
That's why I think what we talked about for our theme today is to just can talk about things we're thankful for. It's funny. Right. I obviously you guys all know that we're part of the Makery Network, and Brian House has the Work For It podcast. And he reached out for, you know, to have people let him know who people they were thankful for and things they were thankful for. And, I think a lot of the podcasts around the world, obviously, are going to be focusing on this topic, right? Because we're right at Thanksgiving, at least in the States. And the Knife Talk podcast, they focus their 1 yearly all beef review is right around Thanksgiving. So it's all the things that they can't stand. So like, anything that you have a beef with or you don't like about something, they're doing their all beef review. So they reached out for people's beefs, and I sent in beef. I was like, yeah, I got something for you. But yeah, it's funny that they're like, this is the one time out of the year that we're going to focus on everything that we don't like about the world.
Hey, there you
let,
go.
Get let it. Everybody get it off their chest.
It's like Festivus.
Yeah, right. It's a Festivus for the rest of us.
I'm going to tell you all what I really think about you.
Sit down. It's going to be a long one.
Yeah, so I was... just in general, right? The simple things that we all know to be thankful for,
yep.
Family and friends and your health. And I was thinking the country songs kind of do boil it down to the essentials in every song.
Right.
Like it's like your girl, your car, your dog, your family, booze, you know, whatever faith you have, your home, good times. Yep. Like they do boil down.
Yeah, I think that's that's got to be one of the reasons why country music is so popular.
Right.
Because it's like makes you feel good, you know. Yeah. Like, because otherwise it's just not that good. It's got to be something for me.
Right. Well, yeah. Again, it all depends on what kind of country you listen to.
Right. Yeah. Like we were talking to Matt Brown last week, and he's like, "Well, yeah, it all depends on who you're listening to." Of course, you know, there's tons and tons and tons of music that we don't all know. We only see the pop stuff and the stuff that's on the Billboard charts and what you hear on right. the radio. But sorry. If you dig at all, then you kind of, you know, you can find good stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
And more bad stuff everywhere.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, we wanted to focus on some things that we're thankful for and things that we like. Yeah, I reached out to Devin just to say like, hey, what do you think about this? And we can just go through and start kind of, you know, listing off things, go back and forth and talk about some things, anything, things from broad things that we're really thankful for. And then all the way things down to small things. And, I'll actually start. And the reason why I thought about this topic, one of the reasons why I thought about this topic is that, every year, or at least for the last couple of years, the Tested team, Adam Savage and his YouTube channel and the group of them, they each do a favorites episode around Christmas or around the end of the year, favorite right. things from the year. And so they focus on some big things and some small things and tools and items and, you know, whatever, all sorts of different stuff that they could enjoy from the year. Mm-hmm. So some of it was that. I was like, oh, that would be kind of cool. And yeah, so Adam Savage just put out his things that he likes, his favorites for 2020. And it's a little early this year, but he is like, well, screw it. You know, 2020 was horrible and we need to get done and I need to talk about something that's fun. So I'm going to talk about that. So that's one of the things that I like is, Adam Savage's channel, his Tested channel, and especially the One Day Builds actually, showed my students one of his videos this week on making the, the truncheon that he made for a show called Rabbit Run, which is a British show about a detective in the 1800s, early 1900s. And he showed making it. And the reason why I wanted to show that is because my students are in the process of coming up with artifacts and items and things that have meaning to them. And how do you impart meaning to something? And how do you make something or create something or craft something that has meaning to it other than just what it is, just its physical characteristics. And I love that about Adam's show that he always, or his channel, that he's always talking about the history of stuff because his background is in movie prop making. And so there, you're always imparting a story. You know, this prop needs to look like it's been used most of the time. Sometimes you're making new props, but otherwise you need to create something that has some age to it, that has some life, that looks like it's been in that universe of the movie or of the show for however long it's supposed to be. So he, in his mind, he's always thinking about the story behind the item. And I love that about like the way he shows his stuff and the way he talks about it and the way he adds in character and patina to items. So that's one of the things that I love.
Do your students know of Mythbusters?
They, I think so. I mean, they did do the Mythbusters Junior within the last couple of years, so he had that show as well. I don't really know. I kind of talked about him as, you know, as, and I mentioned like he came out with a show in the 2000s called Mythbusters and really, like, you know, it was really super successful. And then they had Mythbusters Jr. within the last couple of years. So I think they know about it. And either way, if they don't, I'm super happy to, to enlighten them about Adam Savage and his channel, because it relates so perfectly to what they do as makers and designers of things that have purpose for them. And are made and built and designed to be used or to be lived in or to relate to people. And that's kind of what I guess that the what I really push as a teacher who teaches design as opposed to purely art, because art is about, in my perspective, it's about the relationship between the viewer and the piece. There's a conversation that goes between these two, and obviously the artist is making the piece to show something or to create something or a feeling or an image or a relationship. And then the viewers are relating with that by themselves. Design, you're creating something for the viewer specifically to relate to, and then they use it and they put their own story on it. So it's a little bit different, you know, kind of thinking about how I'm going to make this thing to fit what a need, as opposed to making something purely for the fact or the experience of making it, you know. Doing fine art, you're making the fine art because that's your prerogative to make something, to show people something, and then they relate to it, as opposed to designers make something for a purpose and then put that out in the world for it to serve a purpose, as in it needs to be used. So I guess that's kind of an obscure way to go about it, but that's kind of what I push. I think Adam focuses on that side of it, you know, creating something that has a life to it and it's been used and there's a story there.
Yeah, there's a there was a funny, I guess I was watching maybe one of their live streams or one of their questions saying like, hey, did you mean to make this kind of educational show? He said, no, not at all. That's the last thing we were thinking of. Right. And it's kind of funny. You think of it, Mythbusters, as kind of this, they're constantly teaching and trying theories and doing the scientific process and all these great things. But that's just what they wanted to do. And then down the line, people, you know, they didn't know if it was going to be successful. Down the line, people were saying, hey, I went into this field because of you. I became an engineer because of you. You know, and then they go, oh, okay, I guess we are teaching. But that's just the stuff they were interested in.
Right.
They weren't trying to do a teaching show.
Right. Yeah, but they had the maker background, you know, so they all had done that, made things and had to be innovative. And I think that's why Jamie Heineman reached out to Adam to see if he wanted to be on the show, because he had that kind of that background of being able to do stuff and make stuff on the fly and figure stuff out. And that's kind of, they had to do that on the show. It was like, all right, well, we need to test this myth, this theory. So what do we do? What do we make to be able to test it? And to be able to like do that really, not necessarily, they didn't have to do it quickly, but they wanted people who could think innovatively and try to solve those problems.
Yeah. Yeah, that Tested's a good one. Obviously, Mythbusters. I don't know if we'd have a channel if Tested didn't exist.
Right, yep.
Because that's where I started thinking about it and then took it to Dustin saying, hey, they're doing this cool thing. We should do something like that.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. But that's also one of the first channels I saw. I mean, there's plenty of channels making things, but they made it. It was real nice, and the good thing about, I guess you can say copying thing is, copying something, we didn't rip it off, but say, hey, we want to do something like that, is you're never going to, if you're lucky, you're going to come out with something that's not like it.
Right.
Which is what we have. You're different, obviously, than him, Dustin, and I shoot different, and there's a bunch of different stuff that we do, so it doesn't come out like that.
But it was like, I think also one of those things was having that that first person view. You feel like you're in the space with that person. And I think that's what Adam really does really well, is that he talks to the viewer really well. Yeah. You feel like you're right there with him. He's always like, dude, he's like laughing, he's excited. And you feel like you're talking with him. You're in the shop because of the, not necessarily just him, but equally the way that the camera moves and follows him around and feels like it's your eyes. Zooms in, zooms out. And he's doing better and better with doing that on his own during COVID in the shop. And I think now he might have people coming back in, you know, masked up, and we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
Because of the resurgence that we're having now, or the way that that's happening around the country. But,
right.
But, you know, there's he, because that feel, like, I think that's what drew you to him, and it also drew me. And I think that's draw people in. He's got over what, almost 5.5 million subscribers now on YouTube.
Right. And it's, to me, it is a bit of a shame that he's doing it by himself now. He has no choice.
Right. Yeah, right.
But to me, the quality of the one-day builds and stuff has gone down.
Yeah.
Because it's, they're just, I mean, I love long form, but they're really long.
Right.
And there's not as much to cut and switch to and look at.
Right.
It's more of him setting it up at the table, letting it run, going to grab stuff. And that's cool, like live stream style. And that's definitely YouTube style. But
right, yeah.
That's not why I originally started watching Tested. And they're still good. I've still watched plenty of them. But hopefully they can go also, back to their old style.
Right. I think that also reiterates the fact that it's not purely his charisma that makes Tested the way it is. That it's the combination of the team doing a really good job at filming a way that makes you feel like you're there.
Right.
Lots of different clips, zoom in, zoom out, show around, show some interesting stuff that's happening in the shop. You know, like you really feel like you're there. You look around, you're like, oh, cool, look at this. Or this thing is vibrating, is about to fall off the table. Or, you know, there's this other thing and there's dust flying in the air. And I think that's where, I mean, I know that you do that stuff for our channel as well. And it really does help to make you feel like you're there. You kind of get a feeling of the environment.
Right. It's like you're there walking around, but you're also walking around looking at stuff, going up close. Right. Like you're not just standing back in the corner of a shop watching someone build something.
Right.
You'd want to get in and look at little things and look at the person's face and look at that. Right. Oh, that's kind of funny. Look how that's shaking real close up on stuff. Right. But
I think that also, you know, the way we see things in the world, whether or not we're sitting across a room or we're right next to something, your eye and your brain focuses on one thing, right? So you look across the room and you see that one thing shaking. So in our minds, all of a sudden, the entire perspective of our vision is just on that one thing. Everything else is kind of gone.
Yeah.
Now you can kind of do that. I mean, I guess that's where like broad focus on digital cameras, that's what they do. You know, everything is in focus, but that's not how we see in the world. That's why when you have a camera that has depth of field, you feel that feels nice. It feels more real. It feels like there's something intimate about that picture because you're focusing on just one plane and one thing, the way our eyes work.
Right.
So I think that's another thing that I like about the way you film the channel is that it feels that way. Your focus is changing on different things in and out, the way that we would do it, you know, how your brain works, whether you're sitting in one spot or moving around the shop.
Yeah. I think, Tested it, and YouTube in general is a great thing to be thankful for, obviously, not only because we're on it and we have a small channel that's building, but just what an amazing resource that just wasn't available a short time ago.
Right.
So good. I mean, I watch YouTube just as much as I watch any other TV.
Definitely.
It's fantastic. I'm going to do a thing. I guess you didn't do a thing. Why don't you do a thing and then I'll do a thing.
Okay. So I will do, how about, nice sketchbooks. That's something that I love. And I'm not really a sketchbook person. Like I have a lot of sketchbooks cause I'm an artist and I've been interested in art my entire life. And so I've built up sketchbooks and people will give me sketchbooks and things, but, having a nice sketchbook to keep your thoughts in, there's something super, you know, you get a new sketchbook and it has this pristine quality to it. And this, it feels there's an object quality to it. That's almost like holding a new piece of something. You're getting this new pristine thing and then you start putting life into it and you get these little corners that might bend up or there's, you know, a scratch in it or a tear in a piece of paper or something where someone scribbled something and then it starts to just build this, this history on its own. Mm-hmm. I have, a small Moleskine sketchbook that I think is like a 2.5 by 3.5 or 2.5 by 4 or 3 by 4, something like that. A small sketchbook that I got back in 2002, I think. And I'm still using it. It's turned into kind of my sketchbook that I bring along with me when I go to museums and places, so I can kind of keep note of the artists that I like, and I'll draw little sketches. So it has this history of all the different museums and galleries and things I've been to over the years, and that's a fun sketchbook. But the reason why I specifically mentioned this one is because I just recently got a new sketchbook specifically for ideas for the channel, to keep those in there and draw out things and do technical drawings, and so I've been kind of carrying that around, and I recently misplaced it and left it outside on our picnic table, and it got rained on and whatnot, but it's still good, still in good condition, and so just a nice sketchbook. There's nothing like that when you're trying to get some ideas out as a designer or artist or a person or a maker, some way to kind of capture your ideas in a nice book that's not just a piece of paper that's folded up or put into a drawer. So nice sketchbooks. I love them. Still there? All right, what do we got? Okay, I'm still recording, but I cannot see Devin. Looks like we may have lost him. I'll give him, he can join back in, but I'll go on to the next one. Another thing that I love is that I get inspiration from my students. We're thinking about things that we like, things that we're inspired by. I love that I can talk to my students and teach my students, and that they can also inspire me, that I can give them inspiration, but that they also inspire me. And that is one thing that I absolutely love about teaching specifically, is that that reciprocal inspiration, something that's always been really important to me. And one of the things that's pushed me to be a better teacher is that I know that I'm inspiring students, but that they're also inspiring me. And so that inspiration is something that I'm super thankful for. And I think that spreads all across both teaching and now into YouTube, that I get this inspiration back from people. I always get these comments and people ask me questions and give me suggestions. And I love that about teaching in general, but I love that my students can inspire me. Looks like we got Devin back. Maybe. All right, he's back.
Are we still rolling? I don't know
what
happened.
We're still rolling. There. No, it was good. I just took two turns. That's fine. It's a great thing. We'll just keep on rolling, and if I didn't say anything, they might never know.
Well.
So my second one, Devin, I know you caught the end of it, was the inspiration I get from my students. I've always been really thankful for that. The reciprocal inspiration that I can inspire them, and they can also inspire me.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to do a thing. My new Resistol cowboy hat.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, nice. You saw, I brought it over the one day.
Yeah, yep.
Wore it. I like big hats. I took one when I went out to this trip out west, and I took a big hat, like a big cowboy hat style, and it was great. Like, I loved it, like having a travel hat, Yeah. And once you're in the desert, you realize why they had that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
You got the shade always.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have like a big beach hat, like a straw hat that I love.
I do love that one too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Beach hat.
And then I, father-in-law came walking up one day, and he had this awesome cowboy hat. I was like, oh, that's great. And I was like, I'm not making fun. I really like it.
Nice.
So now they were like, well, you want one for your birthday? We'll go up and we'll go to this place. There's this place in Pennsylvania, this like Western store.
Yeah.
They have like a bunch of walls of cowboy boots and then a bunch of walls of hats. And then they also have all this clothing, which every piece of every clothing you kind of looked at all had a concealed carry pocket. Every single thing. It could be a kid's t-shirt, there'd be a concealed carry pocket around the side. But what a cool little store. Like, it was really cool. And then right there, you just pick the one you want, and they'll see. I have a big old head, so I had to get like some of them, even their largest sizes didn't fit. But I know I wanted like a dark tan,
right?
Dark brown, but not too dark, and the kind of style. And I got one. It was great. And they'll steam fit it right there for you.
Oh, nice.
So they actually made it a little bit bigger, but they'll go back and work it for you and work the felt. And I don't know. It's been fun. I mean, I didn't wear it all the time. I'm not going to necessarily go to Walmart with my cowboy hat, but
right. It's
nice in the winter and in the fall to wear. It's I enjoy it. And it just learning about it, all the things, the proper way to care for it, the
right way
to grab it, put it on and off, all the little tips and tricks. It's been fun.
Whenever I think of that aspect of a thing, the when you get into a community of people who enjoy a thing, then you start to learn many more reasons to enjoy that thing.
Right.
Like, oh, there's this particular thing, and there's this. I always think about when you get a new car, and then you see that car on the road, and you like want to wave to the person in that same car, you know, because you're like, oh, you get it now. You know, right. Like both people are like, okay, we're both in this. So like Jeep people do that and motorcyclists and, you know, you start seeing that around. So yeah, anytime I'm interested in a new thing, I start doing some research, and then you just see the, you know, how these things are super cool and the design that go into them. Like you said, the care and the individuality and it's like, I love that about stuff.
Yeah.
You can kind of get it. And you know, that could be you. And I think that's why a lot of people enjoy quality things, you know, and get something that's really well made, you pay some more money for it, but
right. Then
you're really happy. Or you can say what Wrangler Star says, Cody from Wrangler Star says, gives him the fizz, right? You're excited. Right. Every time you pick that thing up, you're excited about it. You really want to use it. And that, you know, that's why not try to strive for that in life. I think that's one of the reasons why I love making my own stuff.
Yeah.
Have that history already built into it.
To have something like that or something cool that, and you know, has a history in your, and it can be silly to wear a cowboy hat these days, depending on where you're at. You can look silly and you're definitely going to get a lot of attention whether you want it or not. So you have to be confident enough to wear it.
Right.
But also not care enough. Like, whatever, yeah. I'm going to wear this. I'm having fun with it.
If you enjoy it, you enjoy it. Whether, you know, whether other people, it doesn't matter what it is, whether you spend a ton of money and get something really good or whether you buy the really cheap thing or you make your own thing, someone's going to have some type of criticism to give you about it. So, like you said, you just decide that you're not going to care. You're going to do it because you enjoy it. Right.
And right.
So, I'm going to wear this thing and I'm going to use this tool or blah, blah, blah. You know, just because it does what I want it to do and right. I'm happy with it.
And we're in one of the few countries that it's, you can feel right about wearing it.
Yeah.
It's got to be cowboy US or it's got to be like Outback Australia.
Right.
Right. You got to have this like Wild West, Wild Australia kind of feel to wear that thing. So you're lucky
to be able to. Alex Steele had a video when he was still over in the UK before he moved to the States where he had his cowboy hat because he loves everything about the States. You know, he came over here, learned all this blacksmithing here and stuff, but he had a cowboy hat that he'd wear pretty often, and forged a rack to put that attached to the top of his truck inside the cab. So when he got in, he could take his hat off and slide it like just like right inside. It was like a spot for his hat that he gets out of the truck, puts it right back on. Is awesome. Like,
well, you need it because you can't necessarily lay it down on the brim edge of the hat because you're supposed to flip it over on the top. So you kind of need something to hang it on. But it's just a fun thing.
Right. Yeah. All right. So similarly, I have a thing that's also an item of clothing. I have a black canvas vest from the company Dickies, which is just awesome. I think it cost me $25. I can't remember where I got it, but it was really inexpensive. It's just really good quality though. You know, it's got that black canvas, so it's rigid. It fits me really well. It's fleece on the inside, and I'm a big dude, and so I'm always hot, of course. Maybe not because I'm a big dude, but just maybe that's something genetically, because I don't know. Our family are all hot all the time. And I really enjoy wearing vests in the fall, even in the winter sometimes. I'll just put on, you know, I have a t-shirt and a long sleeve shirt on, and then I'll wear a vest. But it fits me really nicely. The Dickies company, has like a certain quality that you expect out of it, whether you're paying low price or high price. You know, they've kind of, they have different quality over the years, but it's just a good vest. It looks good. It fits right. It's just one of those things that I really, every time I put it on, I'm always super excited. It's like, I'm always really nice. I'm really happy to put it on. I zip it up. It's like, it's great. It's just a good thing. I love
it. A couple nice pieces of clothing really change the way you feel.
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
Again, it doesn't have to be super expensive, because I have some more expensive clothing as well that every time I put that on, I feel like it's all about the way it makes you feel and the way it feels on you. It fits right. You know, it's just a good item.
Yeah. I guess I'll go more into the sentimental things. Thankful for the new baby girl and my wife for bringing me that new baby girl. Man, what a great thing. She's just, my daughter Maeve, she's just over 2 months now, and she's really starting to track people and smile at us. And, you know, there's some communication there. She's not just kind of this wobbly blob. Like, it's still sweet to have, but she's starting to smile and like make noises. And like I said, track her. Like, we can no longer like put her down and just walk out of the room. She will track us out of the room and start to fuss a little bit. And,
where are you going?
It's just fun. It's great every day. Loving it.
Yeah. That's funny. So I was telling my wife about the theme that we were going to be doing, and I mentioned, making a list of things I'm thankful for. And I had the paper in my pocket and a pencil attached to my pocket of like a plaid shirt walking around. And she was like, you look like a dweeb with your pencil and your paper. And I like took the paper out and I was like, that's it. You're off the list. Like, fake scratched her off. I'm like, you're done. She's like, oh no. So yes, I'm also thankful for my wife, my daughter, and my family. You know, I think we are really blessed to have a really loving family and people who are, you know, understanding and sensitive, and, you know, just a good family that we can rely on. That was funny. I was like, you're off the list, making fun of me. No more.
in the talking about the wife thing, we just got, I won't go totally into it, but we just got the bill for the hospital stay for having my daughter. Oof. And holy cow, if we didn't have my wife's health insurance, let's just say the bill, you could buy a new car and the bill with health insurance, maybe it would be like a new phone. That's the difference between with and without health insurance.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Man. So just, having that healthcare is nice, but man, what a crazy amount of money to see. I don't know. I don't know who pays for that and if they do, but I think nowadays with medical bills, a lot of it goes away after 3 years and it's hard to track you down. And I think by law, you don't even have to pay it. Like, they'll bug you and threaten you, but by law, I don't think they can make you pay it.
Hmm.
But just to have that worry over your head, oh my gosh. Yeah. To have a baby.
Right. Yeah, I think that just reiterates the point. Just, you know, that thankful to, you know, have a job. Right. I mean, I have a job right now that I can do during COVID. You know, I'm a teacher and I'm teaching, you know, virtually 100%.
Right.
And if it wasn't for that, if I wasn't able to teach, like, my daughter, who's in fifth grade, she'd have to then, like, because I'm home, so I can stay home with her. She also has complete virtual learning, so I'm able to stay home. But if I had to teach her, I had to go to a job, then she would have to find, you know, my wife might have to stay home and not work, or, you know, she'd have to bring her with her to work every day. So,
having
a job in the situation. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So thankful for stuff like that.
Insurance, absolutely.
I was thinking, just in general, being thankful that hopefully we can have a respite from election talk and all that type of political talk constantly.
Yeah.
And it's my metaphor is, it's kind of like being at a sporting event and both sides have these really obnoxious fans that we all have to sit there and listen to. Like, we're just trying to watch the game, and there's the guy over there yelling,
right,
like, too much. Like, all right, it's just a single. You don't have to stand up and scream. Like, take it easy. But then the other side gets so mad that that side's obnoxious. When the other team throws that person out or something good happens, they stand up and start to be obnoxious.
Right.
So most of us are both are all just sitting there annoyed by both sides.
Both annoying sides. And it's the like, outspoken look, ones.
Yeah. It's almost like, look, both your teams kind of suck. So why don't you just quiet down? Don't take, let's just, it's a game here. It's all a game.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's we're having to sit there and watch this thing where you have most of the crowds just being polite and nice and enjoying themselves.
Right.
But then you got a couple drunk idiots on either side yelling about stuff. Like, we're all just trying to get through the day.
Right. We're at the point now in the political climate of our country where all those drunk idiots have been taken away, and now we can all just sit there and enjoy.
Right.
Like, okay, now we can enjoy, you know, live our lives.
Right.
Somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll still be outside the stadium.
Right. Yeah.
Throwing up, annoying us some more.
We'll see them soon enough.
Oh, yeah, they will find a way back. Yeah, the end of that stuff for now. It's always a little bit, every 4 years, it's annoying.
Right. Something that I love is cordless tools. And I love, especially I have a set of Makita drills, drill and driver set, that is just super, super, super convenient. That's almost one of those things that I just take for granted because it's right there. I have, you know, additional batteries that I keep on the charger so I can just pick, you know, those drills are always there. They're always ready to be picked up and used. And I use them all the time without even thinking about it. Recently, Brian House reached out to the community for some recommendations for three things that are on your like top of your workshop tools, three tools that are the best. And I think drill made it into my top just because they're always there. I use them all the time. Yeah. Yeah. And cordless. Yeah. So battery powered tools in general, but specifically drills, man, it's just so nice. So nice to be able to have it right there. Something that's going to work every time. You don't have to worry about plugging it in. It's a game changer.
Yeah. I'll do one, just modern camera gear. It's so nice. Back in my day when I started shooting and doing film school, you know, most of it was tape.
Yeah.
I mean, there was film, but we did shoot film, but you wouldn't shoot film for this. And there was really, really crappy digital cameras that you wouldn't want to use for anything.
Right.
So mostly it was mini DV tape and just that extra step to have to take it and then ingest it all, at live, at, you know, speed. So if you had 60 minutes of footage, you had to wait 60 minutes. Because it would just play it at normal speed and record it.
Jeez.
And that was a pain. So just any modern camera with the SD card set up, so easy to have unlimited space.
Right.
And the Nikon is the 3300. Just a cheap starter camera, kind of, but really a beautiful camera for stills, which I think... We're discussing getting new camera gear.
Yeah.
We probably will. And that's another thing I'm thankful for. But I think I'll keep this Nikon for its stills and its sensor. And it's just so good. I mean, that's kind of what Nikon has done for so long. But even the video it shoots, it's like if anyone wants to get into it and spend $300-$350, you can get a DSLR that shoots HD 24p that looks really nice, which we've used up until now. But now I want to say I'm thankful for Patreon.
Absolutely. Yep.
Everybody on there, because we're using that money on Patreon to, or hopefully by this time, maybe we'll have it. By the time this comes out, maybe we'll have the new camera. But there's a bunch of new camera gear we want to buy. And without our patrons, I mean, we could, but it's nice to have that. It's all the money we've gained, we've been saving for something like this.
Yep.
And that's what we said on there. Yeah. It's all the Patreon money is to go to the channel.
Make the channel better.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely 100% going to be that. You know, that's, I mean, you know, our time, you know, to be able to spend more time obviously makes the channel better, but this will be a physical thing we're going to be using that money for that we've been saving up to buy, yeah, the new gear, the new camera and the new gear. And that's 100% because of the patrons. So definitely thankful for those who feel inclined to support us that way. It still boggles my mind that there are people out there who want to do that. And, you know, we're just super grateful for that.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me go down. I'm going to read them real quick. I don't know if we've done that. We got to do that on the channel too.
Oh yeah. Right.
I mean, at the end we do the master and the journeyman, the people who give $20 and $10 a month, which is crazy.
Yeah.
We put up there, but we have, Cedric Lambert, which is one of the masters, James C. Keefe, like always, Mike Hawkins, SNS O'Hara, Anonymous, AKA Bronel. Charlie Pettinger, Johnny Mercer, Abigail TV, friends, Candace James, Dirk Wenzel, Donald Birdwell, Dubois Clement, Jeremy Parker, Jim Garden, Justin Miller, Kirk Peterson, Brian Grakey, Gomer, and Luke Tutt. And that's all different types of money. I appreciate all those people so much. And we don't get too... get on Patreon and do as much extra content as we'd want.
Right. That was one of the things that we struggled with in the beginning, is because we do put a lot of time and effort into the channel. and obviously everyone that gets that on YouTube gets it for free. So it's that much more special that people support us on Patreon, because it's really just a way for them to thank us for putting that content out on YouTube. And if people feel inclined and inspired to do that, it amazes me. And we're super, super thankful for that. Occasionally we'll get on and do like little things, and we'll do giveaways, and, you know, we have different things kind of in line for that. But really that's just people out of the goodness of their heart. And they want to see, you know, this channel, they want to see it get better. And so they are inclined, you know, they felt inclined to help out that way, which is super awesome.
So, yeah, we're finally going to use that money, folks. We're going to buy a nice new 4K camera, and it will get all nice. The videos will probably be exactly the same. They'll just be a little sharper, maybe a little prettier. But other than that, when we go outside and do things, we can really make it look really nice.
Yeah.
Which the Nikon video inside is nice, but once you start getting outside, without the studio lights, and not studio lights, but without the shop lights, it starts to lose some of its quality, I think. So I want a nice outdoor camera shooter that we can, when we do go out, we can make it look really nice.
Yeah, right on. One of the things that I really enjoy and something that I like is a little Stanley framing square that I got from my father. It's a simple rosewood handle with a little brass clover connection that holds on the steel. It's a small one, maybe, you know, 4 inches by 3.5 inches or so. And it's a simple tool, but it's something that I use a lot. Just, you know, squares are really versatile and one of those things that I use in almost every single video. It's in my tool belt, and that little one I really love, and I'd been kind of looking for one for a while and going to antique stores and things, and my dad had one, and I was kind of admiring it one time in his shop, and he just was like, here you go. He gave it to me. He's like, you can have it. He's like, you'll use it more than I do. And I don't, you know, it's cool. And I've had it for a long time, and it has like some notches on it, almost like a tally mark that he did at some point. And it's got some old paint on it, but it just has some history to it. And it's real small, and it's just a great little tool. It works perfectly every time. And it's a fun thing. Something that I, you know, popped in my mind in the shop.
Yeah. Dustin gets all the cool tools from Dan.
You're like, you jerk.
He's like, I just ran and caught it. This is cool. Like tools, too.
You just got to go in a shop and tell them the things you like. Hey, Dad, this is cool. I love it.
This is great.
Like, yeah, you can have it. That's what I do. Like, this is great. Recently, I got a little oiling can. The bottom is probably an inch and a half or 2 inches across. A little, you know, brass with a maybe 5-inch thin spout on it. Just perfect for doing oil and drilling holes or little bits and stuff. And same thing. I was in the shop and I was like, oh, that's awesome. Look at that little oiling can. So nice. And, you know, I like something like that. And he was like, yeah, you can have it. There you go. Like, yeah. Nice. Little did I know that it actually leaks profusely, so I got
to
fix it.
He was just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, right. He's like, thank goodness.
Sure, yeah, you love it, have it.
I'll tell my mom, we gotta get a new oiling can. So finally got rid of that old one.
Yeah, finally found a sucker who would take it. I don't know if I have any more things. I mean, in general, it's just, you know, I do. I'm happy we got. I have my record collection, and we have built a nice set of Christmas records.
Oh, nice!
So that's really nice when you're setting all your Christmas stuff up, which we're probably going to do Friday because that's what Caitlin's used to in her family. So the day after Thanksgiving, they get a tree and set everything up. So that'll be fun. So I guess when this comes up, that's what we'll be doing. We'll go cut down our tree. You got to go get yourself a live tree.
Yeah,
it's so much nicer to go out and cut it down if you got a place near you. It's nice. But we got great, you know, like, I wish I would have pulled them out, you know, but just the Bing Crosby and I got a cool Willie Nelson Christmas album.
Nice.
I just got one. It's like all R&B singers from like the 70s. So you get great. A couple other ones, Charlie Brown Christmas, all that stuff. It's great to have.
Yeah.
Those records.
Nice. So I have, I've got some stuff, you know, I was kind of just thinking about things that I really enjoyed. One of those things is WD-40. It's something that's super simple, but it's one of those things I always grab, you know. WD-40. I use it for everything. I use it for obviously oiling things. I use it on rags to clean up my planes, and I use it to clean up my axes, and you know, use it to keep the blades cool sometimes if I'm hand sanding and all sorts of different stuff. But it's just one of those things that's always around, always in my shop.
Yeah.
Another. Actually, you can go ahead. It's just a small thing. Anything else?
I don't know if I have any more things. I mean, right. All my things I enjoy.
So I definitely have. I have a thing that relates to a bigger idea, which is my the Revolution 2x72 grinder, and obviously that was given to me and given to our channel from Brian House from the Housework YouTube channel and for the Work For It podcast, and you know, just his generosity. It symbolizes the generosity that's in the maker community, and that we have been particularly affected by. You know, he's reached out, other people have reached out to who want to contribute things. Jesse Allison from Mountain Prevail reached out to contribute, you know, wood, stabilized wood for knife handles, and Craig Lockwood reached out to see if we wanted to join the Makery Network, and Jeremy from Simple Little Life, he's reached out a couple times just to say like he's really enjoyed the channel and really enjoyed the podcast, and you know, and just this kind of community that we've been kind of folded into. It's just a super awesome thing that I think that, you know, we definitely don't take for granted. I don't think most of the maker community does take that for granted. I think it's something that's very obvious and that we all really enjoy being a part of, and why it's blossoming and while it's growing, because people are generous with their time. Mm. This is a community of people who are, I think in general, relatively introverted because we're used to working on our own in our shops and doing things and spending a ton of time and effort and making something really good. And then to be a part of a community where other people are that same way and they want to hear about what you're doing and see and give you compliments. And it just, it brings us all together, which is pretty sweet. So just the maker community in general, it's been awesome for us.
Yeah. It's, a generous group of people. And
yeah,
the great thing about doing these things and sharing your stuff and giving things to other people who also make is it's good for everybody.
Yeah.
So if you do give something to someone or some swag, or you want them to have something, then maybe they'll use it. Maybe they'll show it. Maybe they'll talk about it. It doesn't really matter, but that's such a fun thing. Everybody wins a little something, and so if there's if there's even a giant channel that gets something that you've made, and they shout it out, it's a help.
Right.
And you obviously, if it was someone like Alex Steele or Wrangler Star, and they had something of yours, and they
right,
and they shouted out, it's good for everybody.
Yeah, but I think even the people, the top people who probably get obviously a lot more stuff. You know, I know that Wrangler Star gets stuff sent to him all the time, and you know, he right, says, you know, if it's something that he enjoys and he thinks that it's quality, then he'll talk about it. And that's the thing. People, no matter where they are in the maker community or the vlogger community or the homesteading community, people see and understand quality. And so when you're putting something in the world that has a quality and has a specialness to it, people recognize that. And you know, you'll eventually get be brought into the fold, which is just nice.
Yeah. I want to say one. So our grandmother's in a home now, and she's got dementia, and it's hard to see, but we're glad she's there, and she's not hurting, and she's not scared, and she's not like confused. She's just kind of there. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see her. I guess she wasn't doing well, so we went to see her. Dustin and Cole couldn't at the time, so maybe they'll get down sometime. But it's just nice to see those people. You never know what's going to happen. And I went down and played some music for her, and it was nice. I went down with my wife, and I'm thankful that we had a gap where they let us in. I don't know when they will again. Hopefully they do soon. But it's such a tricky thing with the COVID. Obviously, you don't want to spread it. But right. Our grandmother's not... She doesn't really know whether we've stopped by or not. It's more for us.
Right.
Like it usually is towards the end of someone's life.
Yeah.
Who's that old. She's well into her 90s. So it's tough for the people who are all there. And then they can't see anyone. Like, if that's the only thing you look forward to every day.
Right, yeah.
And, like, all they allow you to do is window visits and you can't be with your loved ones. What a tough thing. So I'm thankful I got to see my mom.
Right, yeah.
And play some music for her and talk to her and you know, touch her, give her a kiss on her head.
Yeah.
That's about all you can do. And, you know, we washed and cleaned up and made sure we weren't feeling bad before we went. And that's, you know...
I think that also goes back to taking for granted the things that we have. When the Iraq War started in the whatever that was, the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Our brother Derek, who joined the Marines, was on the front lines of going into Iraq, and just having that mindset that you know you know someone who's super close to you is now right, you know, you could lose them at any minute. Yeah, you know, it was a perspective change in my mind. I knew, you know, it's like you could these people obviously we can it, it, so obviously we could lose anyone at any moment, and that right. just kind of that's what it brought to my mind, right? The inevitability and the obviousness of our brother Derek being at war and being on the front lines and, you know, in the presence of that, like that immediate danger just made it that much more obvious that we could all lose, you know, just the same percentage of me driving down the road and getting hit by a car and dying.
Right.
It just made that evident. It's like,
right.
You never know when you're going to lose people. So you should take advantage of what you have and, you know, be thankful for, you know, being alive every day. And everyone yeah. that we do have a people.
Right. Being thankful and gratitude.
Yeah.
It's pretty much one and the same, but showing gratitude for others that you might not normally do. And then, you know, they disappear.
Right.
So you got to let people know you're thankful that they're there.
Yeah.
When you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to finish up, with one more thing. And this is something that was on my mind. It was the first thing I wrote down when I wrote this down about what things I'm thankful for. And something that's really kind of come about, I would say, in the last 10, 15 years. And something I'm super happy for and super grateful for. And that is the craft beer movement.
Yeah.
Something that that was literally the first thing, the craft beer movement, I wrote down. And I just think there's so many good beers out there these days because people are really getting into how, you know, what you can do, the different versions of things and the variety packs and all the little small breweries and, you know, and distribution. So we can get, you know, those small beers all over the country and, right. and then also going to different parts of the country and seeing their craft beers. And
yeah.
Gotta love some craft beers. I'm actually drinking a Resurrection right now, which is a beer from a brewery and restaurant called the Brewer's Art here in Baltimore. It's one of the, you know, one of my favorite beers and it's been on the top 100 beers of the Beer Advocate list online for quite a few years. And
yeah,
just the craft beer movement. Yeah. I had to finish this with that since we're, you and I are almost always drinking some type of craft
beer.
That's
what's really important here.
Yes,
folks.
Exactly.
You see your grandmother, but go get yourself a good beer after.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we can go, you know, I've got, you know, five liquor stores in Maryland. We have, you know, we got to buy our beer and liquor from one place, from liquor right. stores. But, you know, I've got five of them around me within 10 minutes and they all have a craft beer section, you know, with a selection yeah. of 15, 20, 30 different beers that, you know, that are awesome beers and little from little breweries all over the place. We got the Maryland sections and it's good stuff.
You know, it's amazing. Once something like that opens up, you're amazed that it didn't exist before and that, somehow the law had kept that type of thing down.
Right.
Like, you know, it had to be some, I don't know any of the political history of it.
Right.
Some people might go under the guise of safety, but it's probably some type of lobby right. for yeah. Anheuser or something like that, right? the companies that are making so much, because people wanted to brew good stuff, but for yeah. so long there wasn't much in this country. Not that there's anything wrong with a Budweiser. I'll drink that too, but
right.
to get, you want to try different stuff. It's fun every time you go into the store. Well, yeah. And my wife doesn't like it because I take 20 minutes. I just go back and forth and look.
But what about this? Yeah.
Yeah what about?
I rarely now do I ever buy a 12 pack or the new amazing 15 pack, which all beer should come in. But yeah. I rarely do I buy a straight pack of beer that's just one thing. I almost always buy a variety pack.
Right. There's so much different stuff. I mean, I'll go back. If I can't find something, I just settle. Like, I know what I'll get. I'll get Resurrection or Tropicannon or a nice porter or a stout or Guinness, something like that.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's always good. but, I always try to get a mixed bag, too.
But I thought it'd be fun to end us on that one. That's a really deep one that made the top of my list. I do want to read off a few other things that I just have on my list just for fun.
Yeah.
So I put, Isotunes earbuds. Isotunes, they sent us, which I really appreciate. And, you know, thank you so much for Isotunes. And they sponsored some of the Makery podcast, which I really appreciate that. I really enjoy mine. I use them in the shop and they're noise canceling. So I don't actually have to put headphones over top of it when I'm doing the kind of normal, you know, stuff around the shop, which I really like.
I'm going to stop you for a sec. I got the Isotunes the earbud.
Yeah.
And what I do is I listen to podcasts a lot of times at night going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just pop. So now I just pop one in and I can still roll around and like go to sleep. But I always have to search for it in the morning because I kind of lose it. It just falls out. So I'm like trying to find it in the morning. But also the other night I was listening to these old podcasts that I used to listen to, the Ricky Gervais Show.
Nice.
And I actually made an HBO animated version of some of those podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
But it's Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant, and Carl Pilkington, which is this hilariously kind of dumb but genius at the same time. I mean, his thoughts are way out of left field. He's just so funny. So you should go look for those podcasts if you can, Ricky Gervais Show. But I was laughing so hard one night, I start to shake the bed. And my wife, like, leans over, like, sleepily, like, hey, you're laughing in your sleep. Like, you okay? You're, like, freaking out. I was like, no, because all she felt was, like, me, like, shaking and then, like, like losing it. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I didn't even explain to me. I'm like, okay, yeah, thanks. Oh,
thanks.
Thanks, babe. I'll go back to sleep.
She's all concerned.
You all right? What's wrong? You're shaking the bed.
That's so funny.
Well, now I'm just laughing. I can't. And then, of course, everything else is. It's like laughing in church. Once you start, you can't. You can't stop.
Right.
Yeah, but the, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you said I was just gonna go through a few of the other things I have on my list. Maryland blue crabs, my favorite food. Absolutely love blue crabs. Let's see, boiled linseed oil, another awesome thing that I use on all of my tool handles and works amazingly. Axes in general, you guys all know I love axes, so anytime I find a new axe, I get super excited about that. As well as old hand planes, I love old hand planes. My sailing, the boat that I own with my brother and our team, and just sailing in general, it's a great community in Baltimore, and it's been something that we've been doing since high school, and love that. The last thing that I love is, the last thing on my list is no presents at Thanksgiving. I love that you don't have to give presents at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is everything great about Christmas, but without the presents. And I love presents, and I like giving and making presents, but I just love the getting together, the like family time, the food, you know, the community, the thankfulness, and you don't have to do anything other than show up and eat together and enjoy everyone's presence, which is the exact same thing as Christmas. But with Christmas, you have the pressure, the buildup of making sure you have presents for everyone, which, like I said, I love that as well, but I do love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday out of all of them because I love the fact that we're all just getting together and we're really thankful and we can spend the day, whether you are, you know, in a family of a whole bunch of people who get along really well, whether you have, you know, a history of all sorts of drama in your family, whether you're in a country where, you know, you can't celebrate it very much, but there's just the idea behind it that we have created this holiday that's just about getting together and being thankful for our family and our friends and what we do have and the fact that we're alive. I love it.
Yeah, and it's a holiday that no matter what you think about the history of it, what it's become is what counts.
Yep.
It's a time for everybody all around the country, no matter what or where you are, to come together, feel good, eat, be happy that you can be together and eat.
Yep.
Have some of the best food you've had all year.
Right. Which we can all super appreciate now because there's so many restrictions now with COVID and all. Like, tons of people aren't going to be able to see their families for Thanksgiving, which is just tough. And even if you can, you know, you got to be afraid or you got to eat outside or, you know, it's just one of those things. Let's get done, finished with 2020 so we can move on. Who knows? Hopefully COVID doesn't go too much longer. But
Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then...
Yeah, right.
I guess then we got nothing for a while, so we'll see.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, thankful for all that stuff. It's a beautiful holiday. Yeah, the channel, having a brother who makes stuff, that's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I do have on my list. I also have having a cameraman.
Yeah, right.
Which I checked off earlier because we kind of
you got a cameraman. I got a guy who makes stuff. So
yeah,
there you
right.
go. It works out. yeah, that's it for me.
Do you have a recommendation this week, Def?
Yeah, I the guy I've been watching a lot recently is another huge channel. But if you don't know him, you should. Everyday Astronaut.
Oh yeah.
He does these live streams of all these SpaceX launches. And even the smaller ones that are just like, there's this thing called Starlink. They send up those satellites, right? They're trying to send up like thousands. So they keep sending them like every month, like 50 at a time, and you get to see them go up, and then you get to see it after a few minutes. They launch the satellites out like in a big pack and they go floating out away from the ship. But he's great. He's got great. Anytime there's a cool launch, like the Dragon launch where they went up to the space station, which was great. He'll broadcast that. But he's his Everyday Astronaut. So he just explains things well. He's got great long in-depth videos of pretty much anything you'll learn about, like how rockets work and why they do this and why they do that. Right. And he'll explain stuff as it's going, as it's the build up to it. You know, he'll go, okay, now they should call this out, and this is why. And if you're seeing that, this is why. And it's really cool. And he's doing a bunch of videos about the what's it called? The I guess they call it Starship. It's that huge one that SpaceX is making. Right, that they're going to help try to take to Mars or to the moon, and that one's great. And they're testing that out in pieces right now. So he'll have these cool live streams of, okay, they're doing like a hop, like a short jump.
Yeah, those are crazy. Yeah,
and it's so
it's
cool.
Like a building.
Yeah, it's this huge thing just flying around.
Yeah,
and he does great live streams, and so if you're into any of that type of any space stuff, he's great, and he'll explain stuff to you, and then.
I do like that, how he explains it and stuff. You know, he's like talking about, because he's not too far out from being a complete novice. He's only, 5 years or something, 6 years ago, he just started doing it.
Yeah.
And so he's like gotten super into it. So he'll kind of, he comes to you at the perspective of like, they've got this type of fuel and there's this type of engine and it works this way. And, you know, now he knows tons about it, but he talks about it in a very easily, a way that you can relate to it. It's cool.
Yeah. So there you go. Everyday Astronaut. Watch any of his videos or any of his live streams. You'll dig it.
Yeah. And he's excited too. His excitement is infectious.
Here we go.
I'm gonna pee myself.
he's good.
My recommendation this week is actually our cousin. So thinking about family, our cousin Jesse O'Hara. He has a pipe making company called Companion Pipes. Jesse's a woodworker and has done a bunch of stuff over the years. And he started this company a couple years ago and makes bespoke kind of wooden pipes that are really, really beautiful. He turns them on a lathe and does all the handwork. And you can follow him at Companion_Pipes on Instagram. And you can check him out on his website, which is jessedohara.com. So check him out. He makes really, really beautiful pipes and just... you can just tell that's something that he loves. I think, I forget who it was specifically that asked him, one of our brothers, something was like, you know, do you smoke pipes? And he was like, of course I smoke a pipe. You can't make a pipe without being a smoker of a pipe. So he's about our same age. He's got, you know, maybe a year or two older than I am. So, he's got a wonderful family and he makes beautiful pipes.
Yeah. He's always done great woodworking stuff.
Yeah.
I remember speaking of my grandmother, I remember her showing being so proud of him, like showing photos, like he'd send, you know, actual printed out photos, like, look at this table. Isn't this beautiful? What a wonderful thing that he can do. But yeah, he makes great stuff.
Really beautiful stuff. And a lot of the stuff that he shows now on Instagram, obviously through Companion Pipes is that, but he'll also pop in like different bits of furniture and stuff that he's done and all. And you can find them on his website. Really, really beautiful work.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure that if you don't already, watch our YouTube channel, The Art of Craftsmanship, go over and check us out. We're also always putting up new stuff. We're just working on a bow making video. And by the time this comes out on Friday, there will be a new Tillering Tree video up on our channel. So definitely go check it out. Let us know what you think. You can also find us on Patreon, like we talked about earlier. We really appreciate everyone who supports us on Patreon, and all of your support goes directly back into the channel.
Yeah, that's all. We save it up and get new gear money.
Yep. Yeah. And we're super thankful that we have that source. So, thank you guys so much. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can find us on the Makery Network with all sorts of other amazing maker podcasts. So thank you guys all so much. We really appreciate all the listeners. We're super thankful for everything that you guys have helped us accomplish and kind of pushed us into this new realm, which we love. I hope you enjoy listening, and we will talk to you all next time.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.